let me bring in you, because as soon as we hear a story like this, I, myself included, but all of us in the office were saying, well, I remember going to Spain and spending 8p on a 4-hour train journey. And I was actually in Australia last year and went from Sydney to the Blue Mountains, which took 2.5 hours, and it cost me $7. And we always say, why are we so expensive in this country? Are we going crackers, or are we a lot more expensive?
No, we are undoubtedly the most expensive fares in Europe. And it's a very deliberate government policy. We have to sort of aim our fire squarely on the government here. I mean, the rail industry will argue that the off-peak fares are also amongst the cheapest in Europe, which is true. You know, if you book a rail fare next week, you can get some outrageous bargains. But that's very little...
Life doesn't work like that.
Well, exactly. It's often very little comfort for someone who has to get to work now, or, you know, when the off-peak fares don't apply. So we'd like a little bit more of the European action, I think. And, you know, it's just not sustainable to keep taking an ever greater chunk out of people's salaries in order for them to go to work.
So why is it more expensive here? Is it to do with the way that we are funded?
Yeah, it's government policy. As you said, it's about, you know, dumping the burden onto the rail passengers, which on the face of it seems fair enough. But there's a real disparity in the way in which the government treats the rail passenger and the motorist. Now, we've seen rail fuel duty for motorists frozen since 2010. And in that time, rail fares have gone up 30%. Now, why is the government being so unfair on the rail passenger? And it's a bed of roses for the motorist. There needs to be some consistency.
And Bruce, we've seen over the last couple of years the number of people actually buying season tickets has fallen, hasn't it? So are these season tickets now, with these constant price rises, are they actually becoming too expensive for people to afford, and is that jeopardising their ability to actually go to work?
Well, I think it looks like it is, isn't it? I mean, it's very easy for people to object to fare rises and cry wolf and saying, look, you're pricing people off the railways, but it looks like it is actually happening. And the consequence of that, of course, is that it forces more people onto the roads, which are crowded and polluted, makes congestion worse, and everyone's a loser in that scenario.
So you do have a few tips, though, Bruce, don't you, about how you can avoid these very high fares? And it isn't just booking 3 months in advance. There are some other little tips you can give people listening.
Yeah, I mean, sadly, these tips don't apply to commuters because they relate to off-peak fares. But here's a little example. I just went on the web and looked up the price of a trip from Bristol to Birmingham. If I want to travel now from Bristol to Birmingham, it'll cost me £55.90. If I instead buy a ticket from Bristol to Cheltenham and another ticket from Cheltenham to Bristol, the total comes to £35.20.
It
That's
doesn't.
A massive saving.
This is ridiculous.
It's saving more than £20 just by splitting a ticket. It's called splitting a ticket. It's totally legit. It's totally above board. As long as the train actually stops at Cheltenham, you don't have to get off.
You're not even having to change trains.
No, you don't have to change trains. One train, two tickets, and you save £20. The problem is, of course, how do you know about these
how
tricks?
How do you know exactly?
Well, you know, I'm sort of in the know, but your average rail traveller doesn't know about these tricks, and they're not taught about them. They don't come up on the ticket machines, and we have an incredibly complex fare system in this country. It's way too complex. There's a huge scope for simplifying it, and you know, maybe then that hopefully the rail passenger wouldn't have to have this sort of secret inside knowledge or jump through hoops to make savings on their rail fares. But sadly, it doesn't work on every route. Some routes are better than others.
How would that work in practice, Bruce, to simplify the ticketing system with all the different operators we have at the moment? How would that work in practice?
Well, I think that one of the things you could do is simply have a common set of rules about the when off-peak applies, for instance. I think on different franchises, off-peak applies at different times. The tickets are called different things when you go for a super advanced off-peak mega saver return or something. You know, Virgin might call it something different. And there are other examples. But, I mean, what this is all about, of course, it's demand management, as we call it in the trade. And it's the rail companies managing the passengers to suit the needs of the rail companies. And we'd much rather it was the other way around.
So finally, David, what do you want the government to do?
I think part of this now is actually the intense focus. I mean, lots of rail passengers are very grumpy at the moment. We see it through the research that we do, is because they're paying for the investment for tomorrow, but their train today is not as reliable and as punctual as it can be. I think one thing that the government and Network Rail and the train operators need to do is absolutely focus on the basics of running a more punctual, reliable service. That in turn will buy some credit, I think, from passengers in terms of this investment and this much-needed remodelling and reshaping of our rail to deliver the ultimate sort of a much better service longer term.
Thank you all very much indeed. To our very own Guy Kilty, of course, also to David Sidebottom from Transport Focus and Bruce Williamson from Rail Future.